And it's hard to imagine now how in 1971, Our Bodies, Ourselves was the only place where women could find out about themselves. The 12 women who formed the Boston Women's Health Book Collective explained menstruation, masturbation, abortion. Now, a warning, we're going to talk about some of their topics, but not as much as they did. The book was banned in some schools and libraries, even though it was a bestseller. Then in December, it looked like Our Bodies, Ourselves was going to shut down. They reached out to Gloria Steinem and Lena Dunham, who made an appeal in a crowdfunding campaign, and now Our Bodies, Ourselves is back. In our view from the top, let's meet the new executive director, Julie Childers. Julie, welcome.
Thank you.
And we are also honored to be joined by one of Our Bodies, Ourselves co-founders, Judy Norsegian, a past executive director, and as we said, one of the women there in the beginning. Hi, Judy.
Pleasure to be here.
And just take us back there. I mean, remind us. It's so hard to explain to young people that you couldn't find out anything.
Well, you do have to think about a different time where there was no information, where if women asked questions of most of their doctors, they got patted on the head and told not to worry themselves, that their doctors would take care of it. And by getting together in groups, which is really how the whole women's movement got going in the second wave, consciousness raising is what we called it, we began to ask a lot of questions about our lives and about sexuality and about our health care. And we all had bad stories in the medical care system. And then we realized as we began to talk, that didn't have to be that way. We could do something about changing it.
And it wasn't just, in many cases, paternalistic doctors, but it was that even your own mom, or, you know, might not have the answer because she was told not to ask the question.
And oh, the ignorance was everywhere. And in fact, ironically, with all the information on the internet today, there is still profound ignorance about reproduction, sexuality. Part of that is the result of all those horrible years of abstinence-only sex education. But it's led to a largely ignorant group of young people. I hate to say it.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, the fact that more information doesn't necessarily mean correct information. But Julie, so now you've come in, new executive director. Now, this is an organization that, well, Time Magazine listed Our Bodies, Ourselves as one of the best 100 nonfiction books since 1923 when Time started. It was in the 2012 Library of Congress exhibit of books that shaped America. But still, you know, the women had a difficult time keeping this going because it's not just that they gave all the money away, Judy, to other things like women's health projects in poor countries. But publishing is a tough business right now. So how do you continue what a crowd fundraising started?
It's an incredible privilege to stand on the shoulders of the founders and to be a part of the legacy of the women's health movement and Our Bodies, Ourselves.
Did you read it?
Of course, yeah. I had my first copy I got was the edition updated for the 90s. And I was a part of the first feminist group at my college, and we did things that we learned about in Our Bodies, Ourselves.
Like, wait, the first feminist group in the 90s? Where were you?
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the University of Tulsa. And so we did Take Back the Night marches, and we taught each other how to do self-breast exams. And I had the edition with a red copy. So that was my first personal introduction to it. But even at the time, what is so distinctive and important about Our Bodies, Ourselves is how we combine information about women's bodies that leads to self-knowledge with political activism and with an understanding of how the social and political sphere influences how we live our lives.
You mentioned the red-covered book. Okay, so we have, I have up in front of me one of the books from the 90s, and there's the 40th anniversary book across from us. Now, they are bigger than, well, nobody knows what a phone book is anymore, but bigger than that. But Judy, you have, look at that. That's an antique, practically.
Yes.
What is that?
This is the 1971 newsprint edition. In early 71, what was called Women and Their Bodies, which came out in December of 70, it renamed Our Bodies, Ourselves, and it sold like hotcakes with the New England Free Press. Something like 250,000 copies sold word of mouth.
But look, it's stapled together.
It is, and it was the beginning of what became really a movement. And one of the exciting things about this is that we discovered women across the country who were interested in the very same issues. Some of them were starting women's health centers. Some of them were working on local projects, working with teenagers. It was so exciting to see this kind of activism. And we were understanding how the personal is political in a new way.
But I'm looking at this wonderful relic. It's got this, you know, faded paper. It was sold for 40 cents. It's got 40 cents written on it. And that picture of, if people close their eyes of a certain age, not if you're driving, but you can picture there's a young woman and a much older white-haired woman holding up this big handwritten sign, Women Unite. So here we are today. How great, first of all, that you had this fundraising effort. But now what do you do to keep it going?
One of the things that we know about fundraising is that about 80% of the donations for all charitable organizations come from individual donors. And I think what we discovered, which we didn't know before the crowdfunding source, is how much support there is for our bodies ourselves, certainly among people who are powerfully impacted by it and people who have found our website and trust ourbodiesourselves.org as a trusted and reliable source for this kind of information and connecting on the web.
What are they telling you? What are you hearing from them? Because you wonder if it is relevant.
Well, I want to tell you, one woman was growing up Catholic on Long Island. She's in her 40s now, and she was understanding her sexuality and trying to understand it and found Our Bodies, Ourselves in a library when she was in high school, and she was coming out as a lesbian. And she said, the book literally saved my life. Understanding and being able to put a context in what I was feeling helped her get through her high school years and make it into adulthood. So we hear that a lot. That
discovered you're not the only one.
Discovered you're not the only one. And that self-understanding is so important. One thing that's really interesting is we hear a lot of the same questions today that I think that Judy and the founders might have heard before. I brought some of the questions that come in through our website. One that came in last week was, can you lose your virginity if only touching your vagina for satisfaction? And I can imagine, I can imagine that's a question that people would have had in 1971.
Well, and what do you tell that young woman?
So we direct them to these amazing resources that we have on our website, articles that we have about what the hymen is, and we direct them to stories that other women have written. And I think that that's the thing that's so exciting about Our Bodies Ourselves in the 21st century is we build on the connections that this foundation of women's connections and sharing stories, which is enabled by social media.
Well, and Judy, we know that there are a lot of things that are the same and then a lot of things that are different. I'm thinking of advertisements geared to college women to donate their eggs for fertility programs.
And suggesting there are no risk, which is simply not the case. So we've been working with college students and faculty to get the word out about what we do and don't know on that issue. But it isn't just with women. I have to say, one of the most exciting things about the last 20 years for me has been to see all the young men who've read this book, including someone in Milwaukee who, as a college student, told me he stole the book out of his mother's bedroom and read it cover to cover, age of 12. And when I asked him, why did you do something like that? No woman reads it cover to cover. He said it was so I could be a good boyfriend someday.
Oh,
he understood that
where
this
is he?
I'll tell you. And then there are others who become physicians. They become researchers and they volunteer their time to help vet materials. And we have a group of maybe 300 or 400 amazing volunteers who help make sure that the quality of the information that we present in our book at our website is vetted. It's evidence-based, not judgmental, allowing individuals to make decisions for themselves, not just about personal matters, but also political.
I love that you mentioned that because in just flipping through, it will say things, for instance, here's the debate on marijuana, or here's the debate on fill in the blank, not telling you, here's what you should think about this. So it sounds like you're saying this crowdsourcing fundraising did so well that that's going to be your template going forward?
We had such an outpouring of support from people who are just able to donate the price of a book that might be $20 or $25. And so that's a really powerful way. What we found is that women who were so powerfully moved and changed by the book want to pay that forward to their daughters and their granddaughters. And I like to think about what the founders would do if they were 26 right now and were born digital and had access to all of the amazing digital tools that people do today. What would they have come up with?
And there is foundation support. It wouldn't be just from individuals. But as Julie said, the vast majority of philanthropic support does come from individuals and family foundations. And that will be the challenge, all of us working with Julie to make this work go forward. There is so much left to do.
Well, Judy Norsegian, that's what I wanted to ask you. At the time when you and others first came up with Our Bodies Ourselves, it was, oh my, you know, how could they? Really? They're going to go there? They're going to talk about that? What is there something today that you find yourself shaking your head and thinking, I never would have thought of this. I never.
Well, the situation with abortion and access to even contraception is something I never would have imagined. Childbirth and maternity care and, you know, the high cesarean section rate and the work we have to do to lower that rate and to produce what we would call best practices in maternity care. The problem of date rape, violence on campus, sexual harassment, domestic violence. And I think it's fueled by the incredible amount of violent pornography that's out there, which is viewed by very young boys and girls, even though parents don't realize it.
Right.
And I think it's affecting our mindset, or the mindset particularly of young people, in ways we could not imagine. I sometimes speak to young women in college campuses who tell me that their peers think there is nothing wrong.
Judy Norsegian, one of the co-founders of Our Bodies, Ourselves. Julie Childers, the new executive director. They've got a new crowd fundraising effort. We'll link you to that and some old fun pictures at hereandnow.org. Judy, Julie, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.